Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know Employee Cycle, we're that people dashboard that's helping all of you HR and people leaders out there who are so sick and tired of the manual, time-consuming, and crazy HR reporting process that you have that includes going into all your different systems, your HRIS, ATS, engagement platform, performance, all these different systems and pulling spreadsheets from all of them to try to understand and get a data-driven view of your entire organization. That doesn't make sense, does it? We know you know that it doesn't make sense, which is why we built Employee Cycle, a people dashboard that has pre-built connectors to all the most popular HR systems you're using out there. Systems like ADP, Greenhouse, Reflective, 15.5, TriNet, Zenefits, Bamboo HR, you name it. You simply connect all your systems to our people dashboard, and we automate your HR reporting and analytics process, bringing in all your data into one view so you can view, share, track, and analyze your people data together. Learn more by going to employeecycle.com. Check it out. Schedule a demo. We would love to learn how we can help you. But that's enough about us, because today I have an awesome guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Pooja Bansal. She's the Senior VP of HR and Corporate Communications at New Day USA. And today we're discussing how to align HR efforts with the bottom line. Pooja, welcome to the podcast.
Woo, Pooja! Thank you, Bruce. Thank you for inviting me to your podcast.
Thank you for taking time to be on the show. So Pooja, I know you have an interesting background coming more from a business background with professional experience. So I would love to ask you the question of how we always kick off the show, which is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
As you said, it's a wonderful world of HR, and I landed it in a very peculiar way. It's a world of uncertainty, COVID timings, when I decided to move into human resources. Coming from a tech background, having experience in business management, it was a completely, I would say, significant decision for me, where I decided to be part of people management. And a lot of my friends and coworker were surprised that I chose a time of COVID in the midst of pandemic to be part of human resources. But I think a lot of human resources leaders haven't experienced what I have experienced in the past 1 year as I'm on this role. So yeah, I mean, it is definitely being a journey, especially when it comes to COVID, how we are making sure that our teams are safe, our company is safe, our bottom line is secure, a lot of things to be considered in the human resources.
So we're going to go right into the topic. And I want to ask you, Pooja, what does it mean to align your HR efforts with the bottom line? We always hear that HR is looking to be more strategic, looking to be a better business partner. But what does it actually mean to do HR work that really makes the overall business better?
A lot of time, human resources comes up with a plan which is very subjective in nature, which takes an effort to convince your other C-suite members to see that this is the value it will bring to the bottom line. Because people management is not easy. I mean, just as an example, how hard it is for to understand our own family, right? And if you think from a human resources leader perspective, now you come up with understanding the whole company, every single employee, how you can satisfy that employee that, or I would say that more than satisfy, how will you motivate that person, right, to perform the best? So that's why it's so important for you to kind of measure everything. Because I personally feel like if you cannot measure something, you cannot manage that. So how can you make sure that if you are putting an effort on employee engagement, it has a direct impact on the bottom line? And again, I want to take you back to this whole 2020 pandemic situation, right? We wanted to keep people safe like any other organization. At New Day, we decided that if we are opening the office for our second phase or our third phase of employees, which is like less than the percentage of what our Maryland state allows, how can we keep people motivated and safe so that they can come on site for work? And we end up deciding that let's do a bi-weekly COVID testing. Was it easy for us to pull everything together? Not. It is an expensive deal when it comes to a corporate expenditure. I'm putting a big expenses on company, but what is that converts into? When people are on site, are they performing more than 100%? Okay, let's convert that amount, and how much are we spending on the COVID testing? So you have to make those parallel analogies to understand that, yes, whatever your actions are, you are bringing more value to the bottom line.
So I want to break this into three different sections. And the first is going to be, we always hear about HR leaders looking to be more strategic, yet a lot of HR and people leaders don't know exactly what that looks like or where to start. So if I want to create a strategy that looks across all of my HR efforts so that I'm making sure that it's aligned with the bottom line, what do I do? Where do I start? How should I be thinking about this?
Yeah. So number one, whenever I think about HR, I always think about how to hire the talent pool. Because if you are not growing, you are not growing your bottom line either. So how to attract the talent? Anything you will do to bring that culture up front will be directly proportional to how you will attract all those talent pool. So diversity, I'm a big favor of diversity because that's how you will get a bigger pool of talent. So we categorize those efforts of employee engagement or anything we can do to attract that talent in one category. The second strategy category would be to the existing employees, how you are promoting them. Are you giving them enough opportunities to be kind of leaders in their young age, or are you making them wait for 10 years to be leader, right? Those are the strategies. Are you having enough leaders to support the new hires? Are you creating enough mentors? So that is the another part of the strategy where you would think that you are kind of doing the employee engagement at the existing employee level. And then the third portion of it, how you are getting buy-in on those expenses, what you will be making as a human resources. And that will be putting everything, pulling all the data and putting it in front of your C-suite, and which is important because whatever you are doing, end of the day, you want to show the ROI. Because that's how you can get buy-in of the whole company. Because I don't see human resources as one department. Human resources is a pillar of the whole company. And technically, this kind of how you will define a human resources is like a coaching and assisting and advising to every single leader in the company.
So you just talked about HR not being a department, but really being infused across the entire organization. So that makes me think, when I'm coming up with this strategy, as an HR leader, who should I be talking to come up with the strategy to make sure that what I actually think looks like to align my efforts with the bottom line is actually on the same page with the people who I'm looking to impress or I'm looking to get executive buy-in from? So is that the executive team? Is it just the CEO? Should I talk to managers as well, middle management? What does that look like? And how many people should be involved in my process of confirming that the way that I'm thinking about my efforts to impact the bottom line are in fact the right way that I should be thinking about this?
So I'm going to take this question back to our New Day USA culture, because that's where I feel like we are completely infused in different departments and we don't work in silo. So all of the ideas of problem solving and how we can infuse in other departments comes from our executive meeting. So within the executive meeting, when we hear all the different areas and what are the challenges different departments are facing, and then all those strategies are wrapped around those problems, how we can solve those problems. Does it require to speak to middlemen, or which is like your middle management, your senior leaders of that department, what that requires? How can HR contribute in planning and shaping that whole strategy for that department so that we can solve the problem? So again, going back to, we don't work in silo. Every single problem is coming from a different department. We hardly as a human resources have very I would say very few problems which arise from a whole corporate fashion. It's always coming from one department, and then we come up with solution working closely with the executive leader of that department. Because when it comes to people, you don't expect every single department executive to know or understand the people management. Of course, at one level, you would think that every leader is a people manager. But when it comes to abiding the law, when it comes to abiding the compliance issues, we call ourselves expert in that area. And that's where all the knowledge and expertise comes handy.
Got it. So when it comes to, again, making sure that my efforts are aligned to the bottom line, when I'm implementing my HR strategies and initiatives, what should I be thinking about as I'm putting these in place, but then also managing all these efforts to make sure that it's always aligned with the overall goals of the company?
Yeah, so there are two different things. One thing is how you can make sure that the goals are not superficial goals, that goals are actually aligned to the market trend. So as a company, you can put whatever goals you want. But then the thing is how market is taking you, in which direction. So it's really important for any human resources leader to understand the market, even before working with COO or CEO of the company, to put the goals and vision up front. So, and again, 2020 was a complete anomaly where we saw different trends coming up. We end up taking our training to hybrid mode, right? A lot of those expenses and costs, which we did not thought that we will be including in 2020, happened. But then with us being in mortgage industry, market was in our favor, and we end up making more money than we thought. So it's just a different revenue structure. Every year looks different. So it's important for any human resources leader to understand the market and then align those goals towards those market and environmental situation.
And when you say understand the market, which market exactly are you referring to?
Market is, again, for human resources, market can be your talent pool. Last summer, how the whole situation changed. Hospitality, airlines, those were not the industries which were hiring talent. In fact, a lot of people were losing jobs. But us, for being in the mortgage industry, we saw the market and we were able to capture that talent pool. And we were able to hire people. We hired last year, the number looks like a little over 600 people we hired in 2020. So that is market. Another market trend is what is the business doing? Being in mortgage, interest rates are so low. So being in mortgage industry, it was in our favor. And we were able to serve more veteran families than we expected. So that's market. So a lot of those things are market. How are employees? Our employees would not be able to come on site because of pandemic situation. So that tells us that how can we equip them with the right tools so that they can be efficient. They can work in their work from home environment. So that tells us that we need to spend more capital on our technology. So these are a couple of things where HR expertise and market understanding is important to make any decisions.
And then the last question that I want to ask to end this interview is around ROI, which you've spoke about a few times. When it comes to showing ROI for different HR initiatives, a lot of the times it's some types of cost savings or time savings. But how do you see HR strategically being able to show ROI on the overall impact of the business, whether it's revenue? Because HR is typically looked at as, you know, I hate the word cost center.
Yeah.
We're hoping that every HR team can be a people success center. But a lot of HR leaders look at themselves and are told that they're cost center. So how do they show that ROI on the overall business?
So I usually call HR as a, I know, I understand that everybody call it cost center, but I call it a backbone of any business, right? When backbone is equally important, you don't show your backbone to everyone, but you cannot stand without it. So if it's a backbone, then our ROI is different than other departments. Our ROI can be defined as a return on individuals. Every single person, when you are hiring, you might end up spending more money in career fairs or employee engagement, right? All the things you spend on a single employee to make that employee to be motivated and so that you can get everything out of that employee when it comes to performance. So when you think about return on individuals, then you will think that if this is the unit profit we are getting or unit revenue that that whole team is making. How much did we spend when we hired those people? How much do we spend on employee engagement of that team? So I would say that they break the whole company into different small units and then think about how much revenue are you making from every single unit. And that unit can be just a 5-people team. But it will help you understand that, yeah, whatever money you are spending on employee engagement or any human resources activities, this is how you can define them, right? So again, it's just a different terminology we can use in human resources.
Pooja, thank you so much for really tackling this topic, because so many HR and people leaders we speak with on a daily basis are always looking at how can they show the value and show that their function is strategic. So this is something that a lot of HR and people leaders struggle with. And I'm so glad that you were able to shine some light on this. So we really appreciate you, and we really appreciate you being such an awesome podcast guest. Woo! Pooja, thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you.
So Pooja, where can people find you and New Day USA online?
Go to New Day USA website, and in the executive leaders thing, you will see me.
Awesome. All right. And so if you enjoyed this interview as much as Pooja and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating to show that we're providing great quality content. Also, if this is your first time listening to the Employee Cycle podcast and then you're hungry for more interviews, please subscribe to the Employee Cycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.